So my good friend Andy Kurtz and I have decided to do a packaging design podcast. Now, it's different than other packaging podcasts that you hear because it's not specifically focused on the box it comes in, but all aspects and nuances of the packaging. We will discuss in every way that we can think of that best describes our experience with it, what we think is working or where things could have been improved. We will also talk about what is involved with owning a small firm and running the everyday ins and outs. And to let you in on a little secret, we really love what we fucking do. Kirk Faisola is the founder and creative director of Mind the Font, a full-service CPG branding and packaging design agency. And Andy Kurtz is the founder and creative director of Buttermilk Creative, an agency that focuses on packaging and branding design for the specialty food and beverage space. Together, we are Kirk and Kurtz. This is the Kirk and Kurtz Packaging Design Podcast. Kirk and Kurtz number 10. You're killing my design, Smalls.
I'm Kirk Faisola. I'm the founder and creative director of Mind the Font, and I'm here with my good friend,
Andy Kurtz, founder and creative director of Buttermilk Creative.
And you're listening to the Kirk and Kurtz Packaging Design Podcast. What's up, Andy?
Hey, buddy.
How you doing, man?
Doing good. Just winding down for the week and gearing up for what for our area is going to be a good amount of snow. So yeah, that's what we're doing.
I was wondering why you're drinking tequila from the bottle. So that's
exactly. I'm pounding it. Well, and my mom's furnace went out, so she's going to be staying with us. So there's that too.
It's an adventure. It's always an adventure.
Always an adventure.
You know,
how are you doing?
I'm doing good, man. I know we're just doing a little pregame talking about the design projects that we're working on. So I'm trying to wrap up a couple of projects I'm working on. I think for a pretty fun brand, and gives me a chance to work with my one of my mentors who I used to work with a lot. And it's really nice. It's really cool. And I'm very awesome. Fortunate to be in this space. I'm also happy it's Friday. I've explained this to several people before, and I've talked about it on different podcasts I've been on, hosted, whatever. But today's kind of a shit show of a day, Fridays, for designers and people on the low end of things, because we always get the last minute changes that people say they need for Monday, right?
Yeah.
Like it's 3:42 right there. So you'll probably be getting an email in like 15 to 30 minutes saying, "Hey, Andy, do you think you can have X for us by Monday?" And whenever that happens, you know that they're not going to even look at it Monday. They never fucking look at it Monday. So here's how the days of the week work before we get started. Monday, by all accounts for us, is the best day of the week. Now, meaning that no one's really wanting to do anything. People aren't checking anything, and they're really not getting up and gearing ready to go on a Monday. That's just how it is. And you'll say, "Oh, that's not right." But yes, it is right, especially for us. Unless something's due Monday, even when it is due Monday, they won't look at it until Tuesday. Tuesday's a pretty good day, but it's also a little busy because they're making up for stuff that they didn't do Monday, right?
Yeah.
All the people that you're working with, they're sending you emails. "Hey, what about this? Look at this." Okay. Wednesday, kind of, it's a good work day. It's probably the best day of the week, Wednesday, because everybody's kind of in a groove and in a flow. Thursday's worthless. Thursday's the worthless day of the week because everybody's only thinking about Friday. And Friday is the worst day of the week because all they're doing is sending up shit, gearing up for the weekend, and making up for things for Thursday. But the other thing is too, is like, "Oh yeah, I sent out that email at 3:45 on Friday," but they were already fucking out of the office and it was drafted just to make themselves look good. So those are the days of the week. So happy Friday.
Yes.
I think that ties into the conversation we had earlier too about with the client you're dealing with. Trust you guys who are out there listening to this, guys and gals, ladies, people, non-gender, non-binary folk who listen to this podcast, need to understand that we're good at what we do. We're the professionals. And when you come to us, you should try your hardest to listen. We're open to conversations. We're open to discussions. But A, have your conversations and discussions make sense. And B, trust us because we've done this for a while.
You've hired us for a reason.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe just sort of, kick the tires a little bit and let us do our thing. Kick the tires a little bit. I don't even know what that means, but like, you know, saying like, you know, just you don't micromanage the whole thing. Like we've hired us to take stuff off your plate. And if for some reason we're doing things that you is making you feel like you need to micromanage it, then let's talk about it and I'll fix whatever I'm doing. Right. You know, like I can adjust my process
right.
to make you comfortable.
Right.
But if you're just micromanaging just because that's what you do with every aspect of your life, then that's, yeah, it's just, it, you're not getting the full value of working with a expert like us.
Exactly. And I think too, that one of the things that really just, I'm fucking sick of hearing is, you know, unable to take direction. There's a difference between taking direction and following pointless orders. Like, yeah. If you're telling me something that I know will not work, I'm obligated. I'm obligated to do it just because you've asked. But then I'll show you exactly as to why it won't work by doing it the right way.
Yeah.
And it's just frustrating because I'm so sick of that. Oh, it doesn't take direction well. It's like, well, give some good direction and have some actual credibility and skills within the category that we're defining or speaking towards, which is design. And yes, I'll listen to you. If you're not a designer, I'm not going to listen to you if you're giving me fucking directions about something. But anyway, I digress. And one of the biggest ways that I've kind of come to conclusions about the final design may not be good design or the best design you put forward is from designs that get killed in the process. Mm-hmm. And we will do, usually, Andy and I will do more than one concept when we're doing a design for you. If it's from scratch, unless it's an update, then we're just making minor revisions or whatever. But we like to go through and we like to think of the process. And we like to explain the actual idea behind what we're doing and present ideas to you, present the different packaging options to you in order for you to see how this relates to your product directly and how things, and there's tons of thoughts that go into it. We do research as far as what's happening in the market. We see what trends are being available or made readily available to you. Especially if you don't have a brand strategy, it really helps us by just exploring and seeing what's out there. Not necessarily to copy or bite off of, but to know what's out there in order to have watch outs and also what the saturation is, the heavy saturation of what's working and what's not working.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the process. So when we present things to you, it's not half-assed ever. And it may seem simple. It may seem like, oh, I could have done that. But the question is, why didn't you? You came to us and you need to listen to us. Now, with that being said, there are times where things get Frankensteined and that's kind of where stuff just kind of goes down the path of the hell. But I really enjoy the part where I've done a design, I'm happy with it. And it's like, I really like this. And then it kind of just slides down from there. Like, oh, let's make this change. Let's make that change. I know that's happened to you, Andy, but what do you feel in regards to having a concept that's in the middle of something be killed and totally gone in a different direction?
Yeah, no, it's sort of heartbreaking because we do put our heart and soul. It's like, you know, the client's baby is their product and their brand. But our designs are really, you know, our babies, and we work really hard to craft and finesse them. And it's hard to not take it personally when, you know, something that you strongly believe in gets killed by the client.
Yes.
Or it gets changed beyond, like, sometimes I prefer them to just reject the idea right away than to choose the idea, be totally in love with it, sleep on it, and then we revisit it and they're like, you know what? I guess I really don't like that band. Can we look at it without the band? And then, well, I don't know. I guess I just didn't really like that typeface. Can we try a different? Can I look at some different versions of the type? And you know, it's like you had this like euphoria of them choosing the one that you
liked
and felt like was the best thing. They seemed really happy about it. And then a couple days later, you know, and so that's, so I'd prefer them to just be like, no, that idea sucks. I don't like that. I want to do option B versus like, oh man, you just hit the nail on the head. You know, this is so perfect. And then like a couple days later, you know, we were looking at this, we were showing some people and we want to change X, Y, and Z. And it's like, but if you change X, Y, and Z, it's not the,
same design anymore.
Yeah.
It's that's so, I'm just thinking in particular about a client that I have to follow up with soon. If anything, just to get paid what they've owed me, but it's the same exact thing where like, oh yes, we definitely like this one. Oh, love this one. And they come back, you know, we're not sure. It looks like it's leaning. It looks like it needs to be straightened out. It looks like it needs, like, well, then you didn't love it. There are certain aspects of it that you liked, but then you're looking over it and making all these crazy changes. And this one, this one thing I was working on, the changes that they made, the continual changes that they made were so close to what they first saw. Like they got back to where what they first saw. And I'm thinking, you do realize that you just basically went backwards and did the same exact thing, right? Like you changed one or two little things, but that's it. So even though they may think they're doing things to make it better, it does hurt in the long run. Just be honest. And if you need time, this is this. If you need time to think about it, take time to think about it. That's fine.
But ask then us just, our opinion and we give it, then take that into consideration too. But
right. Yeah. You know, what do you, that's the best. What do you think about this? I give the smart ass answer. I said, two ways I answer. One, I say, I love the one you love. That's how we're going to go. And they kind of laugh. I say, no, here's the deal. I'm not going to present you something that I don't think works for, or that I don't like, because I don't want to be stuck with something I don't like. And I'm not going to present something that isn't to the best of my abilities as to why or when I'm presenting it. So that's the answer. So when I say I like whatever one you pick, I truly do, because I love all of these.
Yeah.
Then I say the one I feel the strongest about.
Yeah.
And that's how I say this option. And I explain to them why I feel the strongest about it. But then I go back and I say, but I'm happy with all three of them. And any of them would be a great choice for however many options get presented. Another thing too, man, real quick, there's this person I met online. They were saying they only present one option
when they Paul do. Rand.
Her,
yeah. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
Paul Rand. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm always worried about that, because if I'm already not being trusted to present more than one design, then you get into the option of, well, you know, I paid all this money for a design. I don't even like it. And it's like, okay, well, I'm sorry, but that's what you paid for. And I think also you need to take into consideration the notoriety involved when doing the logo and who's involved doing it. Do they have a reputation that precedes them, that grants them this grandiose authority to only present one option, and you just need to be happy with it because they are the foremost authority on what design is? So therefore they just present something and then you just accept it because, you know, you just forked out $1 million for it and you're just going to stick to it and go with it.
Or you trust that they've done the exploration and what you're seeing has got its way through their filters. So clearly it's the best solution. You don't need to be bothered with all the other, you know, all that, all those options. You're putting trust in their process. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's how I'm feeling now. And that project that I was just working on, was showing to you that I'm working on, I feel that there's too much there. Personally, it's nice to see it all. And when I talk to my wife, she's like, oh, but don't you love showing them all this stuff? It's all so pretty. And I said, yeah, but then they feel that it's super easy to do. And then they feel that they have all these options to pick and choose from, like it's a fucking buffet. And I said, I really just want to start presenting either one or two options, and that's it. Like, here you go, here you go. If you don't like them, then I don't know what else to tell you. But the way we explain things and the way we talk about doing things to make sure you understand is well thought out. We explain each section, we explain each idea, and then we present it to you. Now, what happens for me sometimes, and this is kind of what we wanted to talk about, was the killed concept idea. Like, there's a concept that you love, and most designers or most companies only show the end product of what they've accomplished, and they kind of don't show the other things that led into it. And there may have been some designs that were way better than what was done before, but because of noodling and nuances and different things that the client wanted, it kind of gets dumbed down sometimes and bastardized. And when you see the final product in public, people are like, oh, wow, that's nice. But then you're thinking like, well, it could have been even nicer had they. Now, yeah. I've had a couple experiences in that, but do you remember any projects specifically that you worked on or you thought about that you've worked on and it kind of just happened to come down to their art direction at the end?
Oh, man. I'm going through one right now, and it's interesting that it's not only the client's art direction, it's like a salesperson, like an outside salesperson's direction, creative direction as well. So it's like I'm in this weird, so you know, I'm having to take feedback from both sides. And it's the design is now like a snowball that's rolled down a hill that started tiny and now it's this big crazy thing. And it gets to a point where like I'm just like, I don't even care what this looks like, I just want it to be done. And
it's such a bad place to be in when you're thinking that way.
I know. It's going to be okay because in the end, it's been a very like collaborative effort. And once I'm done with like the stress of the day, you know, like the weekly like feedback meetings and stuff, then I'll be fine with it. But it's just like, it looks nothing like I had presented what I thought was very, you know, this very interesting concept, a new take on the category. And we have sort of gone 180 and we're sort of back to the sort of the cluster that they started with. It just, it has updated imagery. And I'm just sort of like, oh God. Yeah. And that was why in our initial conversations, like that's what they're excited about. We don't want to look like everyone else in the category.
And
we don't
Everybody says that they want to look different or they want to be different and they want to look like, well, if you did, then you would do it. But what it boils down to is you have a particular brand in mind. I'm of course generalizing and speaking in grandiose measures and 50,000 foot views. But when it comes down to it, they want to look like something else. They want to be like somebody else that's already out there. And they want that notoriety and success that that brand has. And they think that the only way of achieving that is by piggybacking off what's already been done by that brand. And so they have this idea of being quote unquote different, but when you get down to it, it's just the same thing.
Or they already, like in this particular case, they had a very specific vision in their mind, but they thought they needed me to help interject what I thought it should look like, when in fact they just didn't need that. They already had the vision. And it's not that I'm, if you pay me the right amount of money, I will execute your vision. I don't care. You know, like, it's fine. You're the client.
Right.
But don't hire me and let's talk about all the ways that, you know, I'm going to be able to help guide the prod, you know, the design because of my experience. And then, you know, in the end, just go with what you wanted to begin with.
You want me to be, do you want me to be your hands or do you want me to be your brain?
Yeah.
That's what it boils down to. What was that?
It was Nicole needing, Arlo's Xbox password. Okay.
So it boils down. Do you want me to be the brains of this brand or you want me to be the hands behind your brain?
Mm-hmm.
What you're thinking. That's the thing. I was working on a project, a concept. Now here's the thing, man. I was doing some concepts for a brand and real fun brand, fairly big brand, but it's going to, for concepts to be used in qualitative process, qualitative analysis, like when it goes out to be surveyed, what's that called? Study group. There you go. Focus group. Yeah. That's the word. Woohoo, I found it. So it was concepts being used for a focus group, and the things that were being nitpicked were like, can you have the net weight be right? Okay. You know, I want to say 3 billion instead of 3B, or I wanted to say like all these weird little nuanced things rather than the overall idea because it needed to be done that way. And for me, it's really hard just to put a price on that. Like I can say, here's how much the concept will be. But after like the fourth round of revisions and then other concepts to on top of what was already done with no direction on anything, it's really hard to say, you know, well, this is it and this is what needs to be done. How much does this cost? I said, well, basically triple of what you thought it was going to start out with, but I can't say that because it's really hard to define. And I wish that there was a means of people just coming out and saying, like you were saying, just do this and then having me execute it instead of, we're thinking about something maybe along these lines to where you could possibly have an idea for maybe this. It's like, just fucking tell me what to do. I don't know what else to do. I'm spent. I have no idea how else to approach this. You asked for 6 different designs, categories for the same thing, but it's really difficult. And the fucked up thing is that it's really nobody's fault. That's the fucked up thing. And it's frustrating as hell, but they don't know what they want / need until they really see it. And it sounds so shitty to say, but it's true sometimes. And for me, though, it's like, God damn it. Let's just finish this up. I'm tired of making little changes and moving things 1 inch to the right, 1 inch to the left and all this other stuff. But it's all part of the process. And that's the thing that kind of boggles me down sometimes when working on these projects is just those little things. Do you want me to be your hands or your brain?
Yeah. And it's already if I'm at that point, so like, if you're having to give in to something like that, it means you're working with the wrong person. Mm. But you probably didn't realize that until it's too late.
Right.
And so just that's for me, that's it. It's just like, all right, I just need to get through this project and maybe we can have some, like on the next one, maybe we can set some guidelines or something, but like, but clearly if somebody wants you to be their hand and your goal in business is to be the mind, the brains, the strategy, you know, being very less production oriented, then it's just the wrong matchup, you know?
Right.
And so like, so that's, but that's on us to have not filtered out and just said no to that project. Know when to recognize those red flags from the get-go. I can sometimes sense those and not sign on to those projects. Mm-hmm. But it's mainly around money. It's never around like it's just like, okay, you just can't afford us and I'm not going to try to work with you to figure out how to come up with a scope that's going to fit your budget. I'm just not going to work with you. Cause if you don't have money for it, then there's probably other things going on, but I need to have better spider senses up around.
Yeah.
If a person keeps asking me this question or sort of quizzing me on this or that, they're probably going to be very nitpicky and specific about what they want in the design.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And there's always red flags in regards to that, but the people I'm working with, I really enjoy working with them.
Yeah.
Like phone conversations and going back and forth, and just the process is super, it's super easy. And they pay well, they pay quickly, they pay on time. And so that's what has me work with them on things. It's just when their client, because they're more of a strategy marketing firm that needs design work done. So their client, though, any client they choose, oftentimes doesn't have a clearly defined strategy for something I'm working on, which is just frustrating. And I don't think they realize when they give it to you that the more detailed and the more specific you are about what you need, the better the design will be, the more thought out the design will be, the more succinct and intact and really entailed and focused the design will be, as opposed to just saying, well, we're thinking of maybe something like this to go with something like this. Yeah. And you're just spitballing at that point. But yeah. And I really want to have, my ideal job would be just a concept. Like,
yeah,
do a concept, send it over to them and say, I'm done. Like, that would be my ideal job. Hey, Kirk, come up with, and that'd be for anything though. Like if someone said, I need a concept for a new idea for a movie, and you should give it to me by the end of the day. And I say, okay, cool. What's it about? Anything you want. I'm like, well, sure. Okay. I guarantee you I could think of something that would work. Or if someone says, I want you to do a concept for this new wine that's out, and I want you to do it this way. Sure, I can do that. And I'll do it and give it to you. So I just want to be able to be the ideas guy, basically. Like that would be my ideal job, is being the ideas guy. I'm not picking my nose. There's just like a zit on there. So if you're wondering what I'm doing.
You're okay.
I'm not going for it.
I like that. And someone else gets sort of stuck in the minutia of executing it.
Yes.
I'm with you. Like we, in January, 7 years of doing Buttermilk Creative, and while I love it and it's like the best job in the world and I wouldn't go back to anything else, it would be nice to have a little variety and a little difference in, like, and we've talked about this many times, where like just landing the project is a project alone.
Yes.
And is exhausting, and now I have to be creative now. So yeah, like if I could just, you know, be just sort of dream up ideas and someone else has to make it fit into like the structure, then yeah, that would be awesome.
That's like our dream. That's our dream. That's where the, you know, killed concepts dies is our dreams. Those are our dreams being killed. Our little children, as you call them, being murdered. I'm kidding. That sounds so awful. That's totally a joke. But yeah, man, I really, really love the creative process most times. I just hate the production process.
Mm-hmm. Like the iterative process that whittles down that's what I want to figure out how to do is how to get closer to preserving that initial brilliance of that idea, preserve that in the final product. Because it does feel like time and time again, the iterative process and sort of the back and forth whittles that, burnishes it down to where it's not so bright anymore.
The problem,
dull.
Yeah, man. The problem is that with our job is that design is subjective. People think of design as being art, where they're able to give, say they like something or don't like something, But design itself has a specific, and I was actually just talking to Jeremy about this, design itself has a specific means of a solution. There has to be a solution with the design that's involved. It's solving a problem. That's mm-hmm. what design is. It's solving a problem. Art is not design. And art is subjective, like, oh, I like that painting or I don't like that painting. Well, mm-hmm. what's it? It's like, it doesn't matter if you like it or don't like it. It's just art. But design itself is always trying to solve for a problem. And so people think that they have the means to interject themselves in that part of it because they think it's just like art, but it's not. And that's where the problem lies.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm kind of preaching to the choir, but that's where it really becomes an issue, where you lose that creative side and start going into the production and a little nitpicky and several 800 rounds of revisions of things.
Yeah. Yeah.
And most times they have nothing to do with anything technical. Like,
yeah.
Like you were mentioning this to me earlier about a particular design you worked on. You sent it to the production house and they came back and said, yeah, this shit won't work, bro. You got all kinds of shit wrong with this. You got to fix it. And you realize, like, oh, damn, I spent all that time making sure that type fit that way and this fit that way. And now I'm going to have to go back and redo it all and resolve the puzzle piece, the puzzle, because all the pieces have changed. It's very frustrating to do at that point, but that's kind of situations that are out of your control too. Basically,
go ahead. I always tell the client, email this over. Like, I've tried to follow the print specs as closely as I can, but when you email this over, copy me and I will address any issues the production people have, the pre-press people have.
Mm-hmm.
No reason for you to have to worry about key lines or adding an extra dot or this or that, increasing the size, because inevitably they'll reply back. And like you were saying, you seem like the doofus because it's like all these things are wrong when they're not. It's not that bad. It's just you have to go back in the file and adjust things. So I always try to, you know, sort of head it off at the pass before it's like, you know, it can blow up and make you look like an inexperienced dingus.
Yeah. And then of course, when that happens, you feel bad about it. Even though it was, like you said, out of your control. But then if it happens and you're not copied on it, the client's pissed, like you did on purpose, or you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
So it's a very complex, but fun thing that we do. I'm glad that we had this conversation.
Me too.
Mainly I wanted to talk about Killed Designs, but it seems like we've been both voicing our frustration with the process at times. So even though we may love doing it, it's still sometimes a pain in the ass.
Yeah, I agree.
Cool beans, man. Is there anything else you'd like to add to this conversation before we sign off and say goodbye to all of our loyal listeners? Oh, hey, guess what, man? You know what today is?
What's today?
Today is episode number 10 that we're recording.
Nice.
Isn't that crazy? Number 10.
That's awesome. No, yeah, I don't have anything else to add. I was looking forward. We've had sort of agenda calls the past, or, you know, podcasts with specific topics.
Yeah.
And I was excited to just sort of have one that we sort of were able to sort of bounce some thoughts around. So thanks for providing the prompt, and hopefully we had a good dialogue.
Yeah, man. It sounds good to us. So that's all that really matters, right?
That's all that matters.
You know, what's fucked up is when I edit these, and it's hard for me to listen to them because I don't like listening to myself talk.
Yeah.
And even as I'm saying things at times, in the back of my head, I'm saying, am I saying anything right? Am I saying everything pertinent? Am I just rambling on? And then I realize, like, oh shit, I need to shut up. What am I saying right now? And I kind of lose myself in my own words.
And
then try to bring it back to what I was actually thinking in the first place. But then when I listen back, I'm like, wow, I actually sound kind of
like I know what I'm doing right there.
Uh-huh.
It's almost like an out of body experience just speaking sometimes. It's really weird.
Yeah. But yeah.
Anyway, well, hey everybody, thank you so much for listening. I'm Kirk Faisola, the founder and creative director of Mind the Font, and I'm here with my good friend
Andy Kurtz, founder and creative director of Buttermilk Creative.
And you have just listened to the 10th episode of the Kirk and Kurtz Packaging Design Podcast. Talk to you next time. Bye.
Bye.